Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we're covering Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Ray, I guess.
Which is the third cinematic film we've watched?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've not watched many.
So yeah, the other two were Mask of the Phantasm and the Batman movie. So hey, not a Batman movie!
Yeah.
Yeah, this came out in July 2018.
It's crazy it's that old. It feels like the world's changed since then.
Oh, it's a completely different world. That was back before you didn't have to do tests to see if you could fly out to Rome.
Yeah. I should probably say sorry to anyone for my croaky voice. I'm recovering from COVID.
Which means we have now both had COVID whilst recording a podcast.
I was the big holdout.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's really funny because almost everyone I know who hadn't had it yet suddenly got it the same week, within the same 2 weeks of each other. So,
yeah,
you know, it happens. It happens. It wasn't too bad, but I'm still a bit bunged up. So,
I on the other hand just have an ordinary cough.
I know it's the other perils of being in a wet, cold, world country over the autumn
with a job that has me going outside a lot.
Yeah, and seeing a lot of people.
Yeah, Teen Titans. This is the first time we've encountered Teen Titans Go.
And I think I mentioned it last podcast, but I had no awareness of them before I saw this film.
Yeah, so technically this is a fourth Teen Titans film, though the other three skew a lot older.
Mm.
Especially the two DC AMU films, which are really, particularly the second one, there is a... Isn't that the one that Slade Wilson seduced a child?
Yeah.
And that child then commits suicide at the end of the film, so it's not exactly the most jolly.
It's not a charmer. No.
And the other one we watched was based on the previous Teen Titans television show, and I think we had a guest for that, Claire, I think.
Yeah, I think so as well. That didn't go down too well either.
Yeah, this is the same cast, but such a different tone.
Yeah.
Starting with... So, the film starts with an animated version of the DC logo, which is... I like that.
Yeah, that was cute.
I wasn't quite so sure about the Marvel Comics gag.
No, there's a lot of gags here that are either going to hit or miss. And I think they had quite a few that missed for me. But also, there's still a lot of charm in the film.
I get the impression, a lot of the gags, I get the impression were, and here is a gag for the parents.
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, like, 2018 is really, like, height of when Marvel was a height of the MCU.
Well, I think this is literally the same year that...
Yeah. It was Endgame and
Infinity,
that was...
Infinity
War.
It would have been Endgame, because I think they hang a hat on a time travel plot being important.
Right.
We open in Jump City, which is the city right outside the Teen Titans base, where my first note is, well, this is a different animation style.
Yeah.
It's very colourful.
It's for kids. It's cute. It's big and brash. I don't dislike the animation style.
And the one thing I will say about this film is, it is a film that very much probably could warrant you sit and you go through every single background picture,
yeah,
and you'll find something that's a gag or a reference.
Yeah.
It's a bit like a...
It's really dense. Like, uh-huh. It's literally everywhere there's an Easter egg. If you're the kind of person who does Easter eggy podcasts and stuff like that, mm. or clickbait articles, I almost feel sorry for you for this film, because it is just, like, everything.
It's a bit like... I think Lego Batman had the same thing, which... I mean, this film was only made for $10 million, which is not a lot.
No,
a theatrical film.
But also, I mean, animation drives down the price. And,
yeah.
But they did have, look, they've got some big names in the voice cast. A lot. I think one of the strengths of it is it relies on a lot of people who are very good at voice acting.
Yeah, and there's only really one or two bits of stunt casting.
Mm-hmm. And they're both really good, and they're good, really, really good voice actors.
Yeah.
Like, Belle obviously did Frozen, and Will Arnett, they're both, like, incredible with their voice. So they feel like they're less stunt casty than they could have been.
I was more meaning Superman.
Who voiced him?
We'll get to that.
Why? No, I'm going to look it up now.
Yeah. So, we also get... And this is someone I didn't expect to show up in a DC film. Greg Davies shows up as Balloon Man.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
So...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's stunt casting, but he's also a very good voice actor.
So. Yeah. So... Balloon Man has to fight is attacked by the Teen Titans, who are Robin, Cyborg, Raven, Beast Boy, and Starfire. Raven is very much a different character. Like, out of all of them, because the rest of them were always a bit, or the gag about them was kind of present in other versions.
Yeah.
This version, Raven is very much kind of making a really lot of wise cracks.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's Tara Strong, but still. Yeah. So, Balloon Man's main weapon are machine gun balloon cats.
Which are hilarious, obviously.
And then the fight stops at one point because Beast Boy rips a hole in Balloon Man's behind and he starts farting.
Yeah, they start making fart jokes.
And this is the second or third joke that just keeps going... Okay, right. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
We also noticed that the Teen Titans are aware of other universes.
Yes.
And then we get the first of many musical numbers.
There's a lot of singing. There's a lot. And some of them are actually cute, and they're all very... What I will say about all the music in this is I think having more than one helps in that it's not just, like, one random O'Harley singing or the Joker's doing a song and dance cabaret. It kind of fits with that kind of... This is clearly a set of characters from a cartoon that people know, and they sing, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
There was only one later on that I didn't like. But most of them are actually pretty high quality and very in tone with it all.
So what then happens is, as the Teen Titans are still doing this rap number, Balloon Man gets on with stealing all the valuables in Jump City.
Mm-hmm.
The Justice League, Green Lantern, Superman, and Wonder Woman arrive, very quickly dispatch Balloon Man.
Yep.
And we find out that Nicolas Cage is playing Superman. It only took 20 more years than originally planned. So, Superman, Green Lantern, and Wonder Woman kind of put down the Teen Titans in not the nicest of ways.
No, they're pretty dismissive.
And... Yeah, they kind of say, oh no, you guys aren't heroes, you're just a joke, you will never get a film. We've all got films, but Green Lantern doesn't want to talk about his.
Yeah, that was a bit stupid. I mean, it was a stupid... I find people dissing on the Green Lantern film a bit stupid. Like, now, it's like, most people haven't even seen it. People are like, oh, there's a Green Lantern film, we don't talk about that. So I just say there's a Green Lantern film. It's fine. Like, you know, it's not that bad. I mean, it's not great, but it's not that bad. It's not like Catwoman.
Yeah, it's not like Catwoman bad. And also, it's kind of... The only problem was really the CGI.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, you watch it, and it's actually... I watched it, like, a year or two ago, for the second time, and it's all right. It's like, it's not ever going to be anyone's favourite film, probably, but I just find it a bit disingenuous, like, how much people rag on it, because, like, there's a lot worse films out there. There's worse, like I said, there's worse films in DC, live action, so yeah. It's funny that that's the one that gets picked on as the funny one.
Yeah.
You know.
Meanwhile, Batman has a new movie out called Batman Again.
Which is what all Batman films should be called, in my opinion.
The Batman Again.
Yeah.
So, Supergirl is wearing Plastic Man.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. I was like, that's not funny, that's actually gross.
I mean... At least it's consensual?
No, of course, but, like, she's not... No, it's still nasty.
Yeah.
It's not funny, it's kind of dumb.
A bit like how Robin kills the Atom twice in this film.
Yeah. There's some really... I mean, I don't know if this is a thing in the cartoon, but there are some bits that I was just like, no, you lost me, and then other bits was like, I quite like this.
Also, I don't understand why Robin isn't allowed to enter the Batman premiere.
That was just mean.
I mean, I can see the rest of the Teen Titans, but it's like, no, but he's Batman's ward.
Yeah.
Also, they do this gag, and it says to a few times, of Raven going, oh yeah, no, I am casually the most powerful person in the film.
Yeah, like Portal, come on.
Yeah, I have portal powers. You keep forgetting that I have portal powers. To be fair, the kind of final pull-off of that gag, I think, is really good.
Yeah, it is.
Also, you can tell watching this particular scene that... I think it's Jimmy Kimmel is voicing Batman... And it's very obvious they had him for maybe half an hour.
Yes.
And it meant that there were a ton of scenes they couldn't use Batman speaking.
Well, that actually elevates it for me.
So we get some trailers, which Robin keeps on going, oh, I'm going to be in one of these films. And it's, which I'm going, surely you would know about it if you were in a film. And also, throughout it, we get, Alfred's getting a movie. Yeah, I could watch an Alfred movie.
Yeah, we probably would, let's face it.
Batmobile's getting a movie.
Although
okay.
I've not watched any of Pennyworth, but yeah, the Batmobile one was funny.
And then finally, the Utility Belt's getting a film.
I figure, though, because there's so many Batman films, it's like, the Alfred one is actually, like... plausible, so then they have to go crazier, and it's like the Batmobile one is almost plausible. So they have to stretch it to the utility belt. We're like, what is literally never gonna happen?
So. Yeah, so Robin then ends up thinking it's gonna be him and this utility belt, and all the heroes laugh at him because all the heroes in this film are terrible people.
Yes.
Including the Teen Titans.
Yes.
Everyone in the film is a terrible person.
Yes, that's the problem with the film.
And the Teen Titans realise, well, what we need is for people to take it seriously. And they keep on bringing this point up. We need to be taken seriously. And two, we need an arch nemesis.
Yes. because obviously that's how it works. I mean, they don't, but, you know, as this film proves. But yes.
It turns out that Slade, and just Slade, not Deathstroke, because we're still aiming for... Even though we've got adult jokes in here, we're still trying to play the kids.
And let's call him Deadpool so we can get some Deadpool recognition in.
Yep, let's get Deadpool referencing in. Because I know, isn't that still a bone of contention with Deadpool and Deathstroke? Is they came out at very similar times.
I think so. Yeah, I don't know exactly, but I know there's a lot of...
I'm fairly sure that it's Deadpool was there first, but don't quote me on that.
You think which one was first? Deadpool?
Deadpool, yes, I'm fairly sure.
I'm not sure at all. I would have guessed the other way around, but I don't know.
So, this version of Slade is very different. Also, they don't mention Slade's surname.
No.
It was only the second time she appeared on screen that I realised that the director of all the superhero films was called Jade Wilson.
I know, it's so... Duh.
Oh no, the second I heard her full name was like...
No, I know. That's why they didn't, isn't it? But it's just like, it was always going to be obvious.
So, this version of Slade is obsessed with mind manipulation powers.
Which is fair enough. I mean, they are pretty useful.
I mean, at first you think, oh no, he is just taking the rip. So he's doing the waving pencil trick and the thumb disappearing trick. And then he does, look over there. Which, again, is another gag they stretch out.
Yes, a lot.
But Slade is able to get away with a gem. We then get a dream sequence where Robin sees himself as Simba in the opening of The Lion King.
Yeah, that was dumb. But I laughed a little bit.
There's a few bits of it were quite funny.
Yeah.
We then get the rest of the team going, oh no, we made you a movie!
Mm.
And then the start of... Robin turns it off very quickly because they're making fun of him.
Yeah.
Because there's a gag in the whole thing that he has baby hands.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, maybe that's something funnier, but I didn't see the... Like, does he? I just didn't see the joke in it.
Are they trying to imply that Donald Trump is a Robin?
Oh, I just don't want to think about Donald Trump when I watch anything. Like, even... I just don't even want that in my head. That's probably why the joke didn't work for me.
Sorry, I ruined it for you.
No, but it's just like, that probably is why it ruined it for me. I just don't want to think of it. It's like, I kind of, you know, there's things that will always pull you away and just go, oh, I hate this. And it's like, that's not going to help.
So we get another musical number and basically a riff on the gag of this is the song that goes like this.
Yeah.
Which, again, the Lego movie did better.
Yes.
That's the one thing. It's every time they do a gag, I'm like, Lego's done that better. Like, whether it's the stunt casting thing, whether it's the, as I said, this song that goes like this. I don't know. It just kind of, yeah. So the Teen Titans head for Hollywood. They drive past a superhero to Mount Rushmore. They've run over, from the song that's going on, they run over the Keytar Tiger. Because because the Teen Titans are horrible people.
Yes.
They arrive at the Warner Brothers studio.
Yes, so that's where we're going to the Meta. And like, God, can you imagine if they'd made it now, the Warner Brothers studio would be even more chaotic than it is in the film.
It'd be on fire at this point.
It'd be literally on fire, yeah.
Oh, no, if they'd made it now, they would have put the Batgirl cast in it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Instead, we get a subtle Stan Lee cameo.
I mean, like, no, as they point out, no Stan Lee cameos are subtle. But it was just like, it was funny, and then it was like too much all at once.
I do think as well, the one thing with...
Because this was the last one he did before he died, right?
This is the last one that came out before
right,
he died.
Right, right, because he did Venom was the last one he did then.
Yeah. Might have been, but it's like, yeah, the...
Yeah, I think this one came out, and then, yeah, so I think they both came out the same year, and the Venom one was actually very sweet and heartfelt, so it kind of worked out well. I mean, it's totally the kind of thing he'd do, and it's fine, and it was funny yeah. and unexpected, but I guess I didn't find it as funny this time when it wasn't a surprise.
I think the other thing as well is... The thing I did notice is it's very clear that what they've done is they've called Stan Lee. Can you do... Well, probably not Stan Lee at that point. Can Stanley do a cameo? And what they've just done is they've just stuck a mic in whatever room he was in at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because the audio quality... It's as bad as recording over Skype, unfortunately.
Yeah, sorry about that.
that's fine.
But we're not a movie, so we're not out in
one,
cinemas.
One, we're not,
like,
we're not a $10 million film. And two, we are recording at opposite sides of the country.
Yeah. Yeah, so we don't have a lot of options.
Yeah. So we then go into the Justice League studio where they do a gag about Martha, because if they're not going to do a gag about Green Lantern, they're going to do a gag about Martha.
Do you know what, though? I was glad it was over very quickly and wasn't a sort of recurring one. It was just, what's your mum called? Oh, they're called Martha. Blah, blah, blah. And then they carry on with a joke about her naming both of them, like they're going, well, everyone knows. So I'm glad they got it out the way, and it didn't feel too mean-spirited.
Yeah. I mean, as again, as I've said before, that's one of the scenes I go, the actual principle, if it had been explained right...
Yeah. The basis of there's nothing wrong with the scene, it just feels very much too random
in the way it's played out. It's very much, it's like so many things with Zack Snyder, he has no understanding of context.
Yeah.
So anyway, we then get Robin pitching a film to Jade Wilson.
Yeah, because he's so desperate to be in a film.
Yeah, because that's the thrust of this film is Robin is desperate to be in a film.
I mean, to be honest, that I can kind of see that was quite, you know, it doesn't feel too out of the realms of belief, but it's quite funny.
Yeah. So the pitch fails, and Jade Wilson says, "If you get, we would only do a film about you if all our superheroes never existed."
Yeah.
So we get 5-10 minutes of our time wasted as the Teen Titans get on time-travelling tricycles.
Because that's the child version of the speed bike.
And also we have a few Back to the Future gags, which I still haven't seen Back to the Future.
Wow, go watch it.
No, because it can't possibly be as good as everyone says it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. No, it's the same reason. Basically, this happened with me with Empire Strikes Back. People are, oh, it's the best Star Wars movie. Oh, it's the best Star Wars movie. So I watched it and was like, yeah, it's good, but I prefer Episode 3.
Yeah, that's fine, though. But, I mean, there's a lot of people who prefer Episode 3. Which one's Episode 3? Wait a second.
That's the one where...
you mean the clone one?
Yeah, the one where Ian McDermott is prancing around like a pantomime dame and having the time of his life.
What was it? Attack of the Clones?
No. Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith. Yeah, I've only seen it once. I don't remember it. But you know, but the thing is, like, different age groups like different Star Wars films. Like, I don't think it's quite the same as sort of as universal as Back to the Future.
Yeah,
like,
no,
there's a lot of talk about Empire being the best, but that's generally from people my age.
Mm-hmm.
I know quite a lot of people your age who prefer one of the prequels, either one or three. And I would now probably put Last Jedi as my favourite.
Oh, no, same.
So, but you know what I mean?
It's okay, like, we're never doing a Star Wars podcast because they would kill us.
It would kill us. But you know what I mean? But, so I think Empire is that, like, I get it, but I don't, I mean, I just, I don't know if Back to the Future is as good as people make out is, but I think you would have a good time watching it. Like, I'm sure, you know, because it's a fun film. It's not, it's more of a sort of comedy. I think you'd have a good time with it, is all I'm saying. Like, as opposed to, don't go in with all that weight of it, but you're always going to get the jokes. It's kind of fun sometimes to just go watch it. So you get the rest of the context. But I'm not saying, I don't care if you do or not.
It's also, I mean, it's the same thing. It's that same thing with so many of these. I still remember when I watched Doctor Strangelove, and it was after a while I realized, I've seen all these gags before. I was like, of course you do. That's what they're repping on.
Yeah, but the thing is that, I found Doctor Strangelove a strange watch.
Yeah,
I don't think I liked it as much as most people.
Absolutely. So anyway, to get back to Teen Titans the movie, so we get, whilst we have this, we get an extended musical number which solves Krypton, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, that was quite, you see, that worked, and it worked well.
And it's weird because you're sitting there going, you could have just kept that one. Like, okay, fair enough, Wonder Woman and Wonder Woman, where they bully her, and Aquaman, where they try to strangle him with a beer six-pack plastic thing.
Yeah, because it's so funny that that's how we kill most of the fish in the ocean.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Hilarious that all these birds die because people throw that stuff out.
Also, they prevent the Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles eating radioactive waste. Okay, fine. That one I did actually go, no, that's funny. Okay,
yeah,
I'll give you that one.
Funny, yeah.
And then they stop the Waynes going through Crime Alley.
Yep.
Which is fine until they throw them in later when they go, basically they go back to modern times. And everything's terrible. I always used a different word there.
it's you this time doing it. Yeah.
And the Teen Titans undo everything. And I'm sitting there going, could you at least have left Krypton? That was more than just Superman Superman's origin. That was a planet dying.
Yeah, that was a lot of people. Like, you know.
I mean, it is. You're just sitting there going, why do I want these people to succeed? They are terrible, terrible, awful people.
Yeah, they are.
So, meanwhile, the Teen Titans then go and confront Slade Wilson. We get an extended chase scene where, amongst all things, the Titans manage to steal the crystal that Slade Wilson stole at the start of the film and put it in their safe. And yeah, this is actually a pretty good chase scene.
Yep, that's what I mean. There's some really good bits in this.
And it leads to Robin and Slade being the last two.
Yeah.
Which seems to be going an ongoing theme in a lot of stuff with Slade Wilson. There's Slade Wilson versus, well, they don't actually clarify what version of Robin this is.
No, they're very, because he looks like Damien, but then they talk about him working in a circus, so I think it's supposed to be
Think it's meant to be Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
And after successfully taking down Slade, Slade calls Robin his arch nemesis.
He's like, yay, an arch nemesis.
And uses that to manipulate Robin into letting him go.
Yeah.
Because Slade Wilson is actually the most intelligent character in this film. Which, tracks.
That, yeah, that does track, yeah.
So, when he leaves, it turns out no, Slade is actually quite angry because he's actually been outsmarted. So Jade Wilson then calls the Teen Titans, and Jade Wilson's going to make a Teen Titans movie.
Hooray!
And then there is a segment about everyone apart from Robin pooping in the fake toilet.
Which is awful. That's just awful.
Yeah.
It would be funny if it was just one of them.
But it's when you get to the fourth and you kind of go...
Really? Did nobody notice there was like... The toilet was kind of full because it's fake? Did none of them have noses? Do you go to... You check when you go at a train station or something like that. Do you not... Like, come on.
I mean, to be fair, the Teen Titans then do something that I can completely and utterly get on board with, which is beat the crap out of Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, yeah. Again, though, I mean...
To be fair, I think this came out before... It became a lot more publicly known.
Yeah,
just how
but
disgusting
I think,
a person he is.
I just think I have zero love for the dude. I don't care about that. I just think like by naming someone, it becomes a little bit mean. Like because it could be you don't know 2-3 years on down. Like maybe he something awful could have happened to him. And I'm not sure. I'm not saying that would make up for it. But like say. I just think, like, you can make the joke. I don't know. I just don't think you need to name someone.
One, that, and two, it could later turn out they're a much worse person than you even think they are at this point. So
There is, or it could turn out they are, and they then commit suicide or something like that, and that joke suddenly becomes a bit flat. And I think those are the kind of things that date films a lot. Like, it didn't offend me. I wasn't bad about it. It just started making me think, like, who would I have named instead? Would I have named anyone? You know, Shia's a great target, especially at the time it was made. And he has turned out to be more of a, I'm not going to use the word, but,
Rhymes with dastard.
Yeah. But it's also like, you just don't know, like maybe he could have had a Damascene conversion or something. And especially given the sort of time, well, I guess animations, they can change those jokes pretty quickly. It didn't look like him. It's fine. It's fine. We probably shouldn't spend so long talking about it. But, yeah.
So, meanwhile, Robin goes to the Titans. Can you stop getting up to shenanigans? So inevitably they get up to shenanigans.
Yeah.
They play pranks on various people, including convincing Superman that Lois is in danger.
I mean, it doesn't make them out to be particularly nice, but yeah, it's whatever.
So they then sneak into the food room where a doomsday device is being made.
But they also have all the food and they eat it all, which is very relatable.
Oh no, absolutely. So just as they're about to destroy the doomsday device, which to be fair is a safe assumption until you go, but you're on movie sets.
Yeah.
So even ignoring what's actually happening. So Superman is able to stop the rocket, to which the Teen Titans then bombard Superman with kryptonite.
Yeah. Look, that was the one that made me go, really? We're gonna make you a kryptonite shake. It's like, okay, nasty people.
How is this worse How is this worse than the film which centers on Slade Wilson trying to have a romantic teenager?
How does this make the Teen Titans any better than Lex Luthor?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'd flag up, you know? Yeah, okay.
Jade Wilson explains, Doomsday Device is our streaming service. No, it's HBO Max, honey. And, yeah, Jade goes, well, I'm going to cancel that movie because this movie was going to be the first movie
on the streaming service, yeah.
And now it's not, but what we will do is we'll make a Robin movie because Robin's behaved himself.
Yes. Which obviously he's very happy about.
And he immediately goes, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Which just... Okay. You were the only decent character in this one, but okay. Well, even that, he threw Martha in... Right, no, man. He put the poles on Martha! I forgot about that!
Yep.
He literally... Oh,
it's so bad.
These people are terrible people! So, we then get a compilation of the Robin movie being made.
Yeah.
But Robin misses his friends. And they then film a scene where Robin gets... is to open up the vault in Teen Titans Tower.
Yeah.
And Robin gets knocked out by a light fixture.
Which is funny.
Which is funny, though he does not have cause for a lawsuit.
Well, he needs to get some money somehow. Can't rely on Batman for everything.
Yep. So, he then wakes up, doesn't realise that he's now in Titan Towers... And is manipulated by Jade Wilson into opening the vault. And it is at this point that Slade reveals his entire plan.
Dun, dun, dun. It's not a great plan.
So what he did is he tricked every superhero to being into superhero movies, because everyone's got superhero movies.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were away attending the premieres, because they, being good people, don't have their phones on the cinema.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, no, that tracks.
That tracks, yeah.
And now the Robin movie is going to be filled with subliminal images so that he can possess everyone in the world so they'll steal for him. Okay.
It falls down a little bit, but you know.
And he then leaves Robin trapped at the top of Teen Tower whilst blowing it up.
You know, works.
Because that always works.
Always works.
I'm going to slowly kill you and not watch as it happens. So... What then happens is Robin escapes the burning tower, has a proper realization about, oh my goodness, I valued fame more than my friends and it was a mistake, and I'm going to contact the Titans and have a really emotional scene in the Titans.
Yeah, my friends
are just
there. Back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just there.
And seem to imply that Raven basically goes, yeah, no, I knew that would happen the whole time. So, So why didn't you do anything about it?
She never does anything.
You are the most powerful hero in practically the entire world.
She's only there to make portals, basically.
Yeah. Incredible cosmic powers, portals. So, the movie premiere starts, the Titans arrive just before the start of the film, unmask Slade.
In a ridiculous way, but it's funny.
In a ridiculous way, in that Jade Wilson is clearly smaller than Slade.
Yes.
So.
I'm sure, as we know, there are different body types, and women and men don't generally have the same exact figures. There are breasts involved, basically.
I was more meaning the height difference, but.
No, that's entirely there as well, but I'm just saying it's not just a height thing.
Yeah. So, the movie starts, the entire world is mind controlled, and it's the Teen Titans versus the world. There is a massive chase, including, for the second time in 3 films, a scene where the Batmobile turns into the Batcycle, turns into the Bat, well this time, the Batscooter turns into the Batskates. Which I believe might count as a Batman and Robin reference.
Yeah, I think so.
There is another Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah, you see, and they didn't need to do that again.
And then Raven realizes that she can do another portal because she's the most powerful person in the world.
Yes, exactly. They're to make portals.
So, whilst this is happening, Slade and Robin have isolated themselves and start to fight. Deathstroke is then able to manipulate Robin into watching the film.
Which is funny.
Robin is then able to easily defeat the other Titans.
Yeah, which is surprising, right? That he would easily be able to beat them.
Yep. And then they manage to save Robin from his possession by showing the rest of the Robin movie that they made.
Oh, yeah, that's quite cute as well.
And Slade goes, F it. I'm just going to make a giant robot Slade. which Raven tries the portal and it fails.
I know, right.
So, we then get a reworking of the song from the start of the film. As the Titans defeat the Slade bot. And they let the superheroes back because they are no longer possessed. And just as Robin is about to do the big speech where he goes, and this is what we learned.
Yes, because you need that in every superhero film.
The rest of the I've just realised they do that in the Batman.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Many superhero films, I should say. Not
all. Yeah. So, they, we then get, during the credits, we get a mid-credit scene where the original version of the Teen Titans show up. Which makes sense because the next time Teen Titans Go appears, it's Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans.
Oh, that's funny.
Which is not at all going to be confusing.
Yeah.
Having two characters voiced by the same actors.
It's going to be very confusing. I'll have to actually pay attention. Whether I take notes or not, not sure, but I'll have to properly pay attention.
Since I am going to be taking notes, how am I going to take these notes? Am I going to have to go, like, Robin, go!
Robin 1, Robin 2.
Robin 1, Robin 2. Which one's Robin 1, which one's Robin 2?
I don't know, you do a little key for that. That's on you.
So,
Robin G, Robin.
Probably decent human being Robin and Teen Titans Go Robin. So, the next film we have is The Death of Superman, which...
Very looking forward to that.
We have a guest. Then we have Constantine City of Demons.
Hooray.
Lego DC Comics Superheroes, Aquaman Rage of Atlantis. DC Superhero Girls, Legends of Atlantis.
Lots of Atlantis then.
Yep. And The Reign of the Superman, which is the sequel to The Death of Superman.
Okay.
Which is based on The Reign of the Superman storyline. So we actually get a proper interpretation of the full death of the of Superman arc and return. Still amazes me, actually, now we think about it. We've never had Nightfall as a film.
No, yeah, that is weird, isn't it?
That is actually, now I think about it, because it is, you know, they'll reference the backbreaking constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
We don't actually get that at... I mean, I would rather see that than, for instance, the Killing Joke, but there we go.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it'd be interesting to see, but well, it's strange they've never done it. Then maybe that's yet to come.
Yeah. So that's what we've got coming up. Is there any other podcasts that you've appeared in recently?
Immortal Iron Fist, Sons of Dragon.
Hooray.
That's it.
Meanwhile, I'll be,
How the Rockets do it.
I'll be covering a Rise of the Robots, where by the time this comes out, we will still be doing BattleBots Season 4.0. I'm having great fun with that. It's amazing watching a show and going, how is the robot fighting so good, but the program is so utterly bland and ridiculously bad that I actually am sitting there going, I don't like this. I mean, we're actually in the bizarre situation watching this. I'm kind of going, how on earth was Robot Wars, where the grand total of money spent on all the robots combined was probably less than one of the robots in America?
Yeah.
How is Robot Wars better?
It's a good point. It's a good point. And I think it's probably because some of it is the money. Sometimes it's better to just... not have it.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that's where else you can hear us. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with The Death of Superman.
Yeah.
Again. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.